The following is a sponsored program on WBT.
Good morning. Welcome to At Home with Roby. I'm Patrick McIsaac from Roby Services, along with Trent Haston from the Roby family of companies. We are your hosts Sunday morning, 9 to 10. Is it still appropriate to say Happy New Year? I think so.
Just say HNY.
That's like the new. Does that have a hashtag in front of it?
Krause texted me, HNY, said
hashtag
Happy New Year, and I was like,
HNY 2021.
Little Krause. No, Happy New Year. Heck yeah! This is our first time in the studio in the new year
in 2021
because our New Year's Day show was recorded in 2020. We made it to 2021.
Got it.
Grateful for that.
That's true. It was. I'll tell you, 2020. When you look back at it, I know everyone's like, "Oh, thank God we're in 2021." I get all that. But there's a lot to look back through the year and say that some positive stuff happened, whether it's personal, professional. I mean, it wasn't all doom and gloom.
I'm a extreme glass half full guy.
I know.
I get criticized for my optimism, but I'm not changing. That's a damn crux, isn't it? Criticized for my optimism. But I'm sending out a communication. I'm in the middle of typing a communication to some partners on a redevelopment project. And I was reflecting. It causes you to reflect. I've been doing this full throttle. I graduated college in 2000, started pretty hard the year before on the business side of the business. Just elbowed my dad and said, hey, let me do it, and didn't know what I was doing. 21 years, let's call it. 9/11, 2008-9, and COVID, 2020. Very, very similar disruptors, my relative viewpoint of business in where I live and what I do in the construction industry. And for us, God bless. We're in the Southeast. We're in Charlotte. I think we're in the greatest place on earth. I'm a true believer.
We talk about that all the time.
I'll fight over that. The construction industry, the services industry was deemed essential. Our market stayed strong. And frankly, we have attracted people from, I think, a great COVID migration that this country is going to go through. I am a full believer that the New York cities and the LAs and the Chicagos will come back. We're resilient Americans. When those price points get low enough, people will start buying them and taking the boards off. So Southerners will start buying them. I was talking to Todd Collins about that yesterday. It's economics. When the intersection hits at the price point and the demand, then it'll change. So I'm not worried about any of that, but I do think there is a 5 to 10 year long-term implication of people migrating to the Southeast and to Charlotte, places like Austin, Texas, Nashville, Charlotte, Raleigh, Greensboro, some Florida cities. So, we're blessed. So it's similar in my opinion to 9/11. When 9/11 happened, oh my word, everything was stopped. We didn't start a job till 2002. I mean, really. I mean, it was scary. It was, oh, my gosh, what's going to happen? Just like the week that they shut the ACC tournament down here, that next Monday, we met as an executive team, I think every day for a couple months,
three hours. It was a good little while, yeah.
And it was like frozen. Don't know what's going to happen. And then when fear subsides a little and facts start coming in and you go, oh, my – it's not good, and it's terrible, but there is hope, and we can get to the other side of this. We got back to business. Different from 2008-9, when assets imploded and people had no money to do anything, and it was a multi-year transition. So I don't know. That's my reflection.
I think that's a pretty good reflection. And it is a lot different, you know, because here's the deal. I mean, the market stayed steady somehow. So people's 401ks didn't get hit. People, it seems like consumer confidence will rebound and is kind of there in the first place. Real estate's in a good spot, which wasn't like 08. But your comparison to 9/11 is dead on. I remember sitting, we would have our executive meetings outside at a table spread out. I mean, we didn't know what to do, what to say. And there were no cars going up and down Moorhead. You remember that?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, we saw a group of another business group walking down the street. They're like, we're just trying to get some fresh air. We're all doing the same thing.
I learned how to go to the Walmart.
That
was my job. good life skill. I haven't been to Walmart in about 3 months.
You hadn't lived.
But a good life skill. But my wife would make me, I kept coming to work and meeting with you guys, trying to survive. I would have to take my clothes off out in the garage every day, and it became normal. And then I'm glad I don't have to do that anymore. But I'll tell you, Eric Berg, who's been on the show a couple times, has an office in New Jersey. Him and his family came and visited us after Christmas, and he went to see his office. It's a sales office for his display business in New Jersey, and it's a small 6-8 people. And he said it's a whole different world up there. He said he's got half of his people, 3 or 4 of his employees, that think the world's coming to an end. And they're in this vortex of fear and terror, and it's terrible. And that's what I'm praying for. But he rented a car and drove home and rode through New York City. He said there wasn't one car on the road at like 9 o'clock at night in New York City. Every first floor store was boarded up and no street vendors, nothing. He said it was like Baghdad.
Wow.
Now, as I spout out this Southern optimism that I just gave for Charlotte and the likes, that is still somewhat scary.
Somewhat?
You wonder, because we're over here in Charlotte going, wow, everybody's positive. Businesses seems robust. But when you do the law of averages for the U.S., that's why the numbers aren't that great. So we need, as much as I want every New Yorker to move to Charlotte or not, we need those cities to come back because they're staples of our economy in the United States. So, hey, let's be extremely positive in 2021. Our guest today is a YPO friend of mine, hails from Virginia, Craig Floyd. When we return, you're listening to the At Home with Roby Show.
Welcome back to At Home with Roby. I'm Patrick McIsaac, along with Trent Haston. We are your hosts. Trent, if you missed the last segment, go back. Trent was... he was on the pulpit, but it was good. I think that TJ and I were buying what you were putting out. That's
good.
You had some passion there.
I have to let you know, Patrick, that I still know what's going on. Some.
I didn't see what you were reading from, but
I was like, I really got to knock Patrick sauce this morning. I don't think he thinks I know anything anymore.
I didn't say that. You kind of resemble the Unabomber a little bit with the aviators and the mask. I'm surprised they let us in here sometimes, but hey, that's 2021, baby.
I'm gonna come deep with some disguises this year.
Oh, man. Well, we have a great guest today, Trent, your friend, another friend of yours from YPO.
Fellow construction industry guy. He's a little different side of the business, more on the larger commercial construction.
Very good.
Hey, Craig.
Good morning.
I said on the intro, Craig hails from Virginia.
Yeah.
But he'll get into all this. Him and I, listen, we talk on this show all the time about getting involved and paying it forward, and we had the two shows with Frank Lott, who's the chapter chairman for YPO Southern 7, talked about that philosophy and why you give your time and without having your hand out. And Craig has done that leading his state, which is a bunch of good Virginia guys like Jimmy Adams been on the show. David Gallagher as well. These are the leaders in Virginia. That's how I know these guys. So we become fast friends, and then we have a lot in common personality-wise and what we do trade-wise. So welcome, Craig. Nice to have you.
Happy to be on this morning.
Well, yeah, and Craig, you had Trent showed me a picture. You are actually right up butt up against the Mississippi River right now in New Orleans, correct?
I'm sitting staring at the Mississippi right now, and I'll go ahead and tell you, if you hear a barge go by and the horn blares, it's going to interrupt us for a second, but that's part of the allure of New Orleans.
As long as TJ has the horn effect ready.
Yeah, I mean, okay, can we just get one of those anyways? I mean, it sounds like a pretty
There's
nice,
the barge again.
That sounds like a pretty nice scene.
I mean, Governor Pat.
Yeah. No. We just passed him on the way in,
hulking down the hallway.
Yeah.
No. Well, so, okay, so you're in New Orleans because you have transitioned in your career, and you were telling us you were commuting now. But we'll get there. I want to go back to where you come from and how you got in the construction industry. Let's start there.
Yeah, sure. So I grew up in a little town in Virginia. If you're from there, you pronounce it Buena Vista. And if you're not from there, the whole rest of the world pronounces it Buena Vista. We got to put a little redneck accent
into
how we pronounce it. But great place to grow up, 6,000 people. Mom and dad still live there. Just a really cool small town upbringing. In terms of getting into construction, I actually thought I wanted to be an architect all the way up until my first year of architecture at Virginia Tech. And it was just not what I expected. I'm more of a black and white kind of person, less abstract. And architecture obviously has an element of abstract to it. So I switched my major to building construction after a year and never looked back. It's been a perfect fit for me. And I just love the opportunity that it provides to interact with all walks of life.
So building construction is the degree that Virginia Tech has for the construction industry, our side of the business.
Yeah, and it's a cool program because it's really a blend of engineering, business, a lot of different elements. It gives you a really well-rounded platform, I think, for a career in construction.
Well, Craig, we actually had construction science. I went to Clemson, and I'll tell you, the architecture program is no joke. I remember some of the guys that I went through with freshman sophomore year. I think we talked about this on the show before, but I'll tell you, that's several nights, so you know, 2-3 nights in a row at the lab kind of thing. It was amazing how many kids didn't make it through, or just said, "Hey, this isn't for me." I mean, that's a tough major.
It is. It's very different. To your point, there's a lot of labs, a lot of all-nighters, and you could work weeks on a project. And like I said, it's very abstract, so there's no wrong or right. And if you're someone who kind of needs that environment and more of a black and white world, architecture might not be for you. I should have, before I responded there, it's pretty early to be acknowledging you're a Clemson grad after that.
Hey,
don't you think?
I like this guy already. Yeah, no.
Dang.
I'll tell you though, I've had to deal with this all week. I would rather get beat like a drum like we did than to lose like they did in the last second. So that's my response there. But
I can't say anything. Virginia Tech didn't even go to a bowl.
It's all right. Virginia Tech, I always tell people, we've been to several Virginia Tech games up in Blacksburg, and just the best fans. I tell you, they're always so easy to get along with, welcoming. I love watching Virginia Tech football, so I'll give you that.
I don't know if I should say this on our wholesome radio show, but I got me and Dave McGuire beat up by some Virginia Tech guys our freshman year at Carolina.
Still hold that grudge.
We were number three, I think, and y'all were number four. And that was when we had Chris Keldorf and Peppers. No, we didn't have Peppers.
They had
yet.
Michael Vick, I'm sure.
Yeah. I think
I've heard that story, Trent.
God rest his soul, Frank McGuire, Dave's father, who I knew since the ninth grade and was a dear friend, he was a pretty cantankerous man, loving man. Every time I saw him after that for the rest of his life, every single time, the first thing he would say is, "You son of a gun, you got my boy beat up." Well, come on, man. Are you serious? He's my COO at our company. I mean, come on, am I not helping? Am I not giving back?
Doesn't matter.
That's called having that's having life experiences
that's it.
Together, right?
The only reason why he's where he's at today is my guilt.
Oh, gosh.
No, I'm joking.
Nah, Dave's a good guy. Awesome. Hey, listen, our listening audience has heard this whole story before. Yes, I can't remember who else we have from Virginia Tech, but it came up.
Okay, we're done.
So those guys are pretty tough, is what you're trying to say.
They were big. They seemed to like corn or something.
Southern Virginia Mountain men.
But they were. I had not really seen anybody come out of Virginia like that. I was sheltered.
Big difference between UVA and Virginia Tech, huh?
It was a big difference.
I gotcha.
So you graduate from VT with a construction degree and what you immediately go. Working for the big boys? Is that the deal? Listen to that.
Yeah, I did. So when I was graduating, me and the rest of my fellow students there, we had this belief, I don't know how we got it, that you had to go to D.C. to have a career in construction. So I actually went to D.C. for 3 years, worked for a large company called Clark Construction. And that was a great experience. It really was. But D.C. just wasn't for me, having grown up in a small town. So made the trek back to Southwest Virginia and joined Branch and Associates, now Branch Builds. And I was there for 18 years and president for the last 10 before I made this change.
Wow. And now you said I'm going to mispronounce it, your new firm that you're with, you say y'all are, you know, commercial construction in the $100 million a year range revenue wise, just to give some kind of understanding of it. Where do y'all work? Where's y'all's, where do y'all try to build now regionally?
Sure. Yeah. So I joined a company, called Palmisano, and the Z is actually an S. They're based in New Orleans. I joined Palmisano in October of last year. So I've been, quote, onboarding for about 3 months now and getting to know the people here in New Orleans, which is where we're based and currently our only office. But I was hired to help lead our growth into other markets. And I've just been using the last 3 months to really kind of soak up the culture, the values, get to know the people here and build relationships. And it's been great. I couldn't have asked for a better onboarding experience with the new company here.
That's awesome. Hey, we're going to go pay some bills. Will you stick around? And I want to learn about the culture and all that attracted you to them and where you're from.
I'll be right here.
All right. We have Craig Floyd. When we return, you're listening to At Home with Roby.
Welcome back to At Home with Roby. I'm Patrick McIsaac. Along with Trent Haston, we are your hosts. Trent, we're having a good time in the studio today.
It's
good to be back. First time in 2021. If you missed the last few segments, go back. We always do the shameless plug with the podcast. We've got your buddy Craig
here.
And
I'm getting to catch up. Craig and I have been playing phone tag over the holidays, and I've been wanting to get the laydown of what's up. And
my man's we just heard a couple iPads float through the port there on a freighter. I don't know if you heard that at the end.
You think they were iPads?
Were iPhones? Somethings. I don't know. I'm just speculating.
Said that?
I'm just speculating.
You think we're under that much of a monopoly? That's a shame.
It was some Hyundai.
It's the new iPhone 12.
Oh, Lord. They're going to roll them out. Roll them out. Coming.
This one's got a half-inch bigger screen. I got to go buy it. No, I'm just kidding. Dude, quit looking at me like that.
I'm confused.
Well, Craig, we were getting into talking a little bit about your new role with Palmisano. The Z is an S.
Dang, boy.
Got it. And you were talking a little bit about the onboarding process, and Trent was wanted to know about what sort of attracted you to this firm and where the culture aligned and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
I think I'll start with really the culture, and I get into more detail about that. A key element of the culture here is really humility. If you went to our website, you'll notice people really don't have traditional titles. And one of the ways we talk about humility is we've got a slogan of sweep floors, which means everybody does what they need to do to get the job done. It doesn't matter what your title is and, you know, what you make or any of that. And I was really attracted to that. The other element of the culture that really attracted me is it's a very entrepreneurial company. We like to find a way to say yes, and we don't constrain ourselves by, you know, the traditions of construction and the way things are always done. And it's really what I was looking for. I had a really good run at Branch and grateful for my time and relationships that I built there, but really wanted to do something different. And Palmisano, the culture and the way they talk about business really resonated with me.
I like that.
That is good.
So Patrick, you visited a good buddy, Ron Weatherly, Dry Pro.
Yeah, at the end of last year.
Just Dry Pro now?
Dry Pro Systems, I think.
Dry Pro Systems.
We had him on the show.
We need to get Ron back on the show.
Cornhole supporter. Yeah, we had him. If you
great
that.
Company,
yeah.
Great friend. And you went and visited his new office over in Belmont. And you said he had a wall of pictures of all his employees framed. And everybody's wearing the same shirt. You showed me some pictures of it as an idea for
cool.
our business,
yeah.
to Craig's point. And you asked him where he was, and he said, I'm somewhere in there. I'm no better than anybody else. And
really
no,
resonated.
None of our
me.
People are better than anybody else. And I think that is humility is what you said.
No, I mean, humility. It's funny, Craig, I obviously checked you out on LinkedIn. I'm sure you can see me bouncing around if you check that. But that's one of the first lines that you have. In the description of your bio is a humility is in there, and it's Dry Pro Foundation and Crawl Space Specialist. We botched that name really bad. Sorry to anybody from Dry Pro that's listening, but I did think that was cool, Trent. I think that humility as a leader is extremely important in business, and you know none of us are perfect, and I think admitting when you make a mistake to your team only helps them to get better and grow in their career. So that is cool.
No, I think,
I think it's critical in construction, probably as much, not more so than other industries, because you really do interact with all walks of life, a laborer that didn't graduate from high school all the way up to CEO of a Fortune 500 company, and if you can't relate to any and all of those people, it can really inhibit your career in this business.
Well, to your slogan or whatever, the sweeping the floor, that resonates with me because my dad always said when I was 14 and he would drop me off at the restaurant every day with Fred and Leroy at 6:30 in the morning during the summer and holidays. He said you always got something to do. There's always a broom that you can pick up and sweep the floor. There's always some trash to get off the floor. Don't ever let anybody see you leaning, holding up the wall. So I agree, and it's still today, it's keeping your truck clean, you know, with the logo on it. And I don't know, people see me often, my pet peeve is cigarette butts and such like that. And when I pull up at the office, I'll be on the phone pacing around, kind of like you're doing down there on the Mississippi. And I just can't stand it. I'll go pick up little pieces of trash. And the goal is people see it and understand that's what we're about. So
totally agree. And, you know, a lot of companies talk about culture and values, and sometimes maybe what you see is a little bit different. Than what people talk about. One of the first things I noticed here when you talk about sweep floors, things as simple as people putting their dishes away in the kitchen and when they run the dishwasher, putting the dishes up. You know, they don't think it's somebody else's job to do that.
Yep. Patrick always says his dad, our parents, my dad used to say, hey, you can watch somebody walk from their truck to the door, and how they walk, you'll know how they perform.
That is a true statement. What you were going to say is that, Craig, my dad used to interview salespeople. He was a sales manager, and he would follow them out to their car, and if their car was cluttered and it wasn't, you know, in order, I don't think he was wiping his fingers to see if there's no dust, but if it was cluttered, he got a bad feeling about the person and most times wouldn't hire him.
Mm.
Miss the little things that you don't think about, just like
that's
you were saying, Trent.
That's a good technique. I don't remember where I read this, and I haven't tried it yet, but I want to. I read a lot, and it talks about a CEO, as part of the interview process, he'll go to lunch at the same spot, and he's got to deal with them where the waitress will mess up the candidate's order.
I love
he does
that.
To see how they'll react. And if they're a total jerk, when the order gets messed up, then that's a no hire. But if they're accommodating and they don't get too upset about it, it's kind of a test for them. And I thought it was a really cool technique.
I wonder. I'm just thinking out loud. I wonder how that CEO feels if they don't say anything and they just eat the meal.
Good question.
I'm trying to think what I would do in that
when
situation.
When Craig was telling that story, I got chill bumps. I think that is neat.
That is awesome.
I mean, I like that.
We could do that down at the diner. No,
I always take people to the seedy West Side places that I love, yeah, just to see how they react to that. Like, dang, everybody knows him in here too. What's going on?
And they're wearing a suit or something. Yeah. It's the best.
Patrick, you've been on that. You've been
I love
on some
that.
Of those meal
oh,
excursions.
Yeah. I'll tell you, my last interview, Craig, I got dumped off, and it was Trent, his uncle, his dad, his brother. You were there. Dave was there, and we're in the corner booth of exactly the place that. I mean, I'm pretty sure cigarette smoke was flying back then. I'm not sure or not, but
illegally.
I bet I had like a white, you know, Oxford shirt on and a pair of khaki pants. It just set me in the corner. I mean, just black coffee till the end. It was good. So I think that was a test, a little bit.
You must have passed the test.
I think I just sat there and didn't say anything. But no, it was good. They were great people.
He's all right. So Craig, got a couple minutes. Give us a rundown on your family and your philosophy on raising kids.
Oh man, philosophy on raising kids. Let me stall on that one for a second.
Yeah, I was about to say that's tough. There.
I'm married to my beautiful wife, Carrie. Between the two of us, who are both remarried, we have four kids: two boys in college, one at UVA, one at Virginia Tech.
Ooh.
22 and 20, and then two daughters. One is 18, and she's at Virginia Commonwealth University. Her name is Ella. And then we have the baby, Charlie, who's 14 years old and still at home with us.
That was
in terms of raising kids. I tell my YPO forum all the time, you know, when I think about my life and career and, you know, a lot of the successes that I've been fortunate to have. The one area where I probably feel the least competent is as a parent. And I've found that I'm not in, you know, a small group that a lot of us kind of struggle with raising kids.
No, you. That was a tee up so you could brag about your family.
That sounded like somebody being very modest.
Yeah, you're being humble.
And humble, yeah.
I'm just going to tell you, I mean, our friendship, it's a forever friendship, but I remember the first time we were on a Big Three. I think it might have been your first trip, the first time we ever met. I remember it vividly, our interactions on that trip and just how warm both you and your wife are. And listen, if that carries over to the house and to the business, you're going to be very happy and very successful, Craig. So thank you for coming on the show,
buddy. Thank you, Trent.
Yes, sir.
Absolutely.
Well, I think, man, I don't know if we can follow up with a closing segment like that, but Craig, thanks for being here, man. How can people look you up and get a hold of you?
Yeah, so you can look up the company at www.palmazanollc.com. And you can find me on LinkedIn. Just search for Craig Floyd. You'll find me. I'm pretty active out there. And, of course, you can always contact me through my good friend Trent.
There we go, buddy. Hey, have a great day, Craig. Happy New Year to you, and I look forward to hanging out with you soon, bud.
Really enjoyed it. Thanks for having me on.
Welcome back to At Home with Roby. I'm Patrick McIsaac, along with Trent Hasten. We are your hosts. Trent finishing up with old Craig Floyd from Palmazano.
I don't know if you haven't done it on any segment today, but you did not say Patrick McIsaac with Roby Services and Trent Hasten with the Roby Family of Companies.
We're both with the Roby Family of Companies. I cut it out. I got a new intro for 2021.
You like how I teed that up?
That you noticed.
I'll give you some credit. That. You know, the COVID drove us a push to more so vertically integrate our business.
Yeah, we did.
Combine some forces in our divisions, basically
that we have.
Become less siloed. So through that, I will say, I mean, of course, you, what are you, managing partner?
So, I mean, what's a title,
are,
though? Let's go back
Matt
to the
Young,
last.
We're talking about titles, which Chief. One side of me says it doesn't matter what your title is. The other side, you know, you do it. You need something in some waltz of business success. Some people judge that, and you might not get a foot in the door in some instances.
That is true. But, you know, I think that, like you, we have the same mentality that Craig has and Paul Mazzano. Hey, give me a broom.
It's easy for me.
I'll sweep the floor.
It's easy for me from my big picture advisory role to you as my partner. It's easy for me to say, if they don't let you in the door because you don't have the right title, that might not be the right door to enter.
Maybe I should get some buckle shoes. Maybe they'll let me in.
I would not do that.
We'll let Matt do that.
I was just on a hunt. Hey, funny story. Just got back last night from a duck hunting trip down in Stuttgart with some guys, and we're hanging out. Get down there first night. Hadn't hunted duck yet, and this guy he's pretty well to do, successful business guy, and also pretty into hunting. And we're all hanging out by the fire, going to get up at 5 and go freeze our butts off in the water. And he had on buckle shoes. He had on some Gucci buckle shoes. And, dude, I don't know if I started it, but when it started, it didn't stop. What are you wearing? And we're in a lodge. so you can wear a slipper. You can wear, like, bedroom shoes and hanging out.
Yeah, I gotcha.
A lot of boots, but you don't need to be wearing buckle shoes.
Especially Gucci buckle. You get a little dirt on those things. It's like 500 down the drain.
Well, the lodge wasn't that dirty.
I figured this much, yeah.
It was COVID protocol.
I got it.
We're all
got it.
Wearing our masks, keeping our distance. I was hollering about them buckle shoes. You over there with your buckles on. Nah, I'm kidding.
Oh, man. But now, yeah, we have. But I do want to clear up Craig before on the last segment. He said his company, but he forgot to say Paul Mazzano with the S. If you want to look him up online, hit him up on LinkedIn. It's Paul Mazzano with an S, not a Z.
He gave us a good lesson. I didn't even have to team up on life
lessons.
That
was good.
I went to the kids and the family because the lunch lesson was awesome. I've never heard that.
Yeah, that's actually in a movie, I think, of some. I can't remember which movie it is. TJ, you know what I'm talking about? Where I don't. It's got Keanu Reeves in it, but they do that at the end. He realizes that you don't do that.
Anything with Keanu Reeves is awesome.
Yeah, your Point Break guy. I got you. I got you. But no, I think it's a great lesson. I think it's something that you could easily incorporate, especially with all the restaurants that we go to in town. If you're going to interview for Roby, we're not taking you to lunch, but we might. But what an easy way to figure out what kind of person.
I can't watch movies anymore.
I thought
really
you watched Hillbilly Elegy. Didn't we talk about that like two
that
weeks ago?
That was good.
That was good.
Did you watch it?
I did watch it.
That's a good movie.
Have you seen it, TJ?
That's my type of movie, and I don't think – that's a simple movie. We were talking about movies with the kids the other day. Catch Me If You Can. I remember when that came out, Frank Abagnale, I thought that was really cool when it came out. I thought it was cool that you – not in a fraudulent way, but it shows you can – you can work to be anything you want. He was doing it illegally and frauding people out of it.
Best salesman in the world.
We watched it as a family. They waited till I got home. We watched it last night, and like 10 times I kept going, are y'all like this? And my stomach hurt the whole time because he's frauding people. He's always about to get called. It's so dramatic. It's like, God, just I'm a simple man.
It is good. He came to Charlotte.
It was bad.
And spoke at the the character Frank. Do you remember when he came to the Hood Harget Breakfast Club?
I do not.
That was the most captivating.
I did not
one
see
of the
that.
Most captivating public speakers I've ever heard. He just tells the story. It's like I don't even think the guy took a breath.
Does he look like Leonardo DiCaprio?
No, he does not look anything like Leonardo. He's older now. But do you know a movie came up at our house over the weekend? Those that are a little bit older will get. Do you remember Short Circuit when you were a kid?
The robot.
I remember.
Is that good?
Man, I love that movie. I think we're going to catch that this
TJ
weekend.
TJ didn't like your short circuit.
He did.
Deal.
You didn't like it? He cut me off.
Nah, he hit the music on you.
Whatever, Bulldog fan over there.
Listen, we're going to be positive in 2021. That's our oath to everybody, our customers, our friends, our associates, everybody at all levels. Thank you for what you do. Everybody stay positive, work hard, and let's have a wonderful year. Thanks for joining At Home with Roby.